10 minutes now in front of 8 o'clock. You're listening to Morning Edition on Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Dan Wanshura. Good morning. In the mid-19th century, a persuasive Mormon leader led hundreds of followers to an island in the middle of Lake Michigan. Then he declared himself the King of Earth and Heaven. That's the story author Miles Harvey tells in his new book, The King of Confidence, a tale of utopian dreamers, frontier schemers, true believers, false prophets, and the murder of an American monarch. Miles Harvey is the virtual guest of the National Writers Series event tomorrow night, and I'm very pleased to welcome him to the show now. Good morning, Miles.
Good morning, Dan.
Miles, the man you write about is James Jesse Strang, and the island in Lake Michigan is Beaver Island. Tell us a little bit more about who this guy is and what made you want to tell his story.
He's a really fascinating guy, and I have a feeling that a lot of your listeners will know some basic outlines of his story. He was a guy who was a late convert to Mormonism right before Joseph Smith was murdered in 1844, and he said that he was Smith's handpicked replacement, even though the two had barely met, and eventually drew a huge following and moved with hundreds of people up to Beaver Island and declared himself King of Earth and Heaven. And Millard Fillmore, the U.S. president, sent in a Navy warship to oust him. And the story kind of goes from there.
Miles, what was it that made you want to write about Strang? And how did you find out about this character?
Well, I guess I first found out about Strang from a friend who lives in Burlington, Wisconsin, which before Beaver Island was Strang's first utopian colony. And I was driving around with this friend, and he started telling me this wild story about this Mormon colony that had been there in the 19th century. And I guess I didn't think much of it until later. But I came to see Strang not just as a Michigan story or a Mormon story, but as a national story. I see Strang as sort of a lightning rod for all the incredible enthusiasms and passions of the mid-19th century, good and bad. This is a time when the word con man comes into the into being, because there were so many of these people running around. But it's also a time of great movements. Strang, for instance, was a really strong abolitionist. So I see him as someone who really was good and bad, an American story.
You say the story of Strang has a particular relevance to the times we're living in today. I'm wondering if you can unpack that a little bit for me.
Well, you know, in the book, Dan, I didn't mention, I made two very sort of oblique mentions of the times we're living through today. But, you know, a lot of readers and critics are reading that into it. And I think it's right. I mean, both times are times of great change, economic, social, political. I mean, we know from this summer just how tumultuous our times are. And Strang lived in the same kind of times. And it's times like these where someone like Strang, who offers simple solutions to complex problems, thrives. And it's not surprising that the mid-19th century, as I said, was the time that gave us the word con man, because there were so many of these people running around offering simple solutions to complex problems. So I don't want to make oversimple comparisons between these two times, but there really are some strong comparisons, some strong points of comparison.
Miles, you said that Strang started out in Burlington, Wisconsin, and then he went to Beaver Island. Why did he choose Beaver Island in the middle of Lake Michigan?
That's a great question. I mean, I think part of it was in Burlington, you know, his enemies stuck around and his followers could leave. So it was very porous. Beaver Island gave him kind of more of an isolated place, an island. I think also, one thing that I've really come to believe from my research is that he was running a pirate colony out of Beaver Island. For listeners up there who think they know the Strang story, I've added a lot of new research to this. And both on the good side and the bad side, one thing I've just offered just real-time kind of proof or strong evidence that he was indeed running a pirate colony, that he would send his people out to raid various coastal towns on Michigan, on Lake Michigan, but also send people out all over the Midwest to steal horses, et cetera. So that was one thing. He also controlled politics up there and got himself elected to the Michigan legislature. And there he did some, you know, depending on your politics, very good things. In my opinion, he was really a strong supporter of the rights of African Americans once he got into the legislature. So he was a really complex guy. You know, as a writer, you want a really three-dimensional figure. And I think my book helps bring out some of those dimensions.
Wow. A pirate, politician, and a religious leader, all wrapped up in one.
You can't beat it. I always say when I'm telling people about this book, I am not making this stuff up. It really happened.
How long did he stay on Beaver Island?
Well, he was there about 6 years. I mean, his people were there a little bit longer, but he sort of moved up there full time and declared himself king in 1850. For a while, I mean, he was, you know, the Navy raided the island and brought him back to Detroit for trial, but he was found innocent. And, you know, Millard Fillmore left the presidency in 1853 and Strang was still king, but eventually he was killed by his followers, probably with the help of some governmental bodies in 1856.
Do any followers of the Mormon faith believe that Strang was the rightful successor to Joseph Smith still today, or was, is that theory, has that been debunked?
So there's a small group of Strangites, as they call them, and I've met at least one of them. I really don't know much about them. I'm not, you know, a theologian. But I believe they still see Strang as the right prophet of God instead of, say, Brigham Young. But I can't speak for them, and I shouldn't speak for them. Most Mormons now are Brighamites. I mean, they have followed their mainstream Mormons, who the biggest part of the church moved out to Utah. But there was a while where Strang was really a threat to Brigham Young. And not only Strang thought this, but Young thought it. In 1853, there was a fair amount of talk that Strang would be appointed governor of Utah, which would be a huge blow to Young, who was then the governor of Utah. And Strang actually went out to Washington, or started out to Washington, to lobby for the job. And Brigham Young's attaché in Washington is saying, sending dispatches back to Young in Utah saying, we better watch out for this guy. But for whatever reason, I'm not even sure Strang made it to Washington. It didn't happen. And so history could have been different, but it wasn't.
Truly fascinating account. Miles Harvey is the author of the new book called The King of Confidence, A Tale of Utopian Dreamers, Frontier Schemers, True Believers, False Prophets, and the Murder of an American Monarch. He'll be talking much more about his new book at the National Writers Series virtual event tomorrow night, starting at 7. For more information on his book and how you can join that virtual event, go to nationalwritersseries.org. Miles Harvey, thanks for joining me this morning and talking about your new book.
Thanks so much, Dan. It's been a pleasure.